Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. I'm going to jump into the word. Are you ready to jump into the word? Come on, I'm excited today. You need a breakthrough today? That's awesome. I was just watching my mom on the internet there. That was pretty cool. Our streaming's happening really good. We've enhanced our capacity to stream and all those things. So I know people have been watching in different places and saying it'd been buffering a bit. So we've upgraded our upload and our download and all those things, whatever they mean. But I believe we've enhanced that whole process. So we've had people watching. We've had in the islands down in St. Lucia. We've had Prince Edward Island and Michigan and up northern Ontario, all over the place, people watching what's happening. So we believe we're going to develop a whole online church, be a big, crazy group of people. It'll be a way to plant churches all over the place. Wouldn't that be awesome? All right. Not online in London. If you're in London, you can make it here. Quit being lazy. All right. Just hit the PayPal button now and give your offerings. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I've been enjoying just going through and soaking myself in this word, and that has resulted in another sermon that I'll have to give in a couple weeks because it's unfolded a little more in my heart. So, but today I want to share something. How many have a dream that's been unrealized? You get some. You get dreams that have been unrealized. How many don't have a dream at all? How many try not to dream? I tell you, it's a time of fulfillment, and it's a time of restoration. It's a time of recovery. It's a time of incredible blessing. See, God will not come back and leave you in a place of disappointment. He can't come back and not have fulfilled every word. When Jesus said it is finished, it meant every word, every assignment, everything I was to do was done. And everything God said, every word is going to reach and come to a rapid acceleration and fulfillment in your life. So I know that's happening quick because there's a lot of dreams and desires and passionate things I have. So I know God's on the move in a really big way. But I need to jump into the word and do that. So quick little recap of the last few weeks. Quick one. It says 2 Kings 4:8. It says, "And she persuaded him to eat some." So we got into that whole aspect of constraint. It all began with she saw this fellow. She began offering hospitality. She began just ministering to the needs of this individual. And then as it went on, it says that she perceived not just that he was a prophet, but she perceived that he was a holy man of God. You could camp around there for a while and say, what do people perceive of you? What do people perceive of me? Do people, when they entertain us, do they perceive that this is a holy man or woman of God? That's an important thing. But she perceived that this was a holy man of God. And so she constrained him to tie fast, to bind, to constrain, to prevail upon, to seize. I need you to spend time here. I realize there's a benefit to this relationship, and I want you to hang out with me. So it is time to seek the Lord. It really is today. And if you get bogged down in difficulties or turmoil, keep your seeker fixed on the Lord. For me, life is very simple. God is good and the devil is bad. And therefore, if you seek God, you will always live in the goodness of God and experience his goodness because God is good. And if there's something bad going on in your life, don't dwell on the bad. Seek God. Fix yourself on him. He is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he will bring into manifestation his goodness in your life. It doesn't mean that you're going to be problem-free and never have trouble, but you can go through trouble, and you can turn the valley of trouble into a spring, and you can turn it into the very presence and wonder of God. So that is the thing of God. Seek the Lord if you get bogged down because there are great benefits for seekers. What are the benefits of seekers, Pastor? Well, there's just seven. There's so many more, but I just gave you seven. You get access. You become fearless. You get awareness. You get access. You get righteousness raining down on you. You get the blessedness, the favor of God. You procure favor and peacefulness. You'll have rest on every side. Those are not my words, but those are the promises in the Word of God for those who seek him. Hallelujah. I think that's awesome because I was looking for some peace. I know where to get it. Seek him and you'll have rest on every side. Just seems oversimplified, Pastor. Well, aren't you glad God keeps it simple for numbskulls like me? If you seek God, he'll make you look like a genius.
2 Kings 4:10, we see that it wasn't just enough to have these meals, but I'd like to have more of this in my life. I'd have like to have greater capacity to entertain the glory of God. I don't want little visitations anymore. I want the glory of God to dwell and rest in my house. That's what we should all desire. That's the passion on every one of us. I don't want little accidental visitations of God. I don't want every once in a while to go, whoa, I was really used by God today. I want it to be a normal expression of my life that I am anointed. I'm walking in that anointing. His passion, power, and presence is always gushing out of my belly like a violent river. That is the normal Christian life. To have random accidents and every once in a while feel like, whoa, that was a God thing. It should be every moment it's a God thing. But that's going to come through habitation. That's by God's grace, you've been saved and you have access to all these wonderful things. But you know, you need to steward now the blessings of God in your life. And you have a responsibility to steward them into a place where that little becomes more, the more becomes more and more, until it excels and it abounds to blessing the many. So moving from visitation to habitation, we talked about that last week, and moving from those random encounters to intimate relationship. Going from a visitation to a habitation means something's got to change. I got to make some room. I got to increase capacity. My present level of thinking, believing, discipline, blank, whatever. I want to move it to a new level because I'm desperate to see all of God touch all of me so that all that I have and all that I am touches all that's out there, and that his goodness invades every place of darkness. And you know, it's not about me, it's about him, but it's about me becoming completely devoured by him. So we talked about that. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of God. That's talking to believers. I've got grace. Hallelujah. Grow in it then. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge. You know that God is transcendent. You can never really fully put your hands on him. He is beyond knowing, and yet he wants to reveal himself to you. He's beyond knowing, and yet he says, I've given you my spirit that he will test, and he will take you, and he will fathom into the deepest things of God, and he wants to reveal himself fully to you. So be on a constant quest, not a constant striving, but a conscious, love-sick quest for all that he is. All right, keys to habitation. We talked last week, make a room. Had to make a room, put it on the roof. Therefore, they had to check out the foundations. You want to make room for God, you better check your foundations. Foundations. What are foundations? Well, Hebrews talks about the foundations. Make sure that you're established in foundational truth. Make sure you're established in the disciplines and the foundations of God. Make sure you got a good, active, significant prayer life. Make sure that you're rich in the Word of God. Make sure that you understand who you are, your gifts and your callings. Make sure that you check the foundations of your life and God's purpose in you. You're investigating those things because you want more, and you don't want that to crush and obliterate you. You want it to rest on you heavy, contain it, and be useful in it. Therefore, you need to check your foundations. You need to make a room, make a chair. I mean, the best chair in the house. I want him. I want his comfort. I want where he abides in me to be the most comfortable place. I am more concerned about his comfort than mine, because I know that that brings about every good thing that I desire. So there's a chair. There's a table for fellowship. There's a lampstand where the Holy Ghost is going to bring the light. Everything in my life, the only light that expresses my way, is the light of the Holy Ghost. And then a bed. I want him to rest here. I want him to habitate here. I want his presence to soak here. I want him to be comfortable in my heart and in my life. Well, that was an awesome recap, Pastor. That was good, good, good. All right, you ready? Let's open up your Bibles. I want you to go with me through the text now. I'm going to go through the text today, and I'm believing for a miracle. Who needs a miracle today? I'm believing for a miracle for you, because he's a miracle-working God. And everything necessary for you to walk in that has been finished, and we're going to put a demand on it. This is an amazing, amazing story in history. And this word, the Old Testament, was written for us to understand the ways of God. So let's look at this story and let the Holy Spirit breathe on it. So now it happened one day. Say one day. It was just a day, another day, one day, that Elisha went to Shunem. It was just one day. And as he was there, a notable woman, she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food, because she made some good victuals. So she said to her husband, look, I know, I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a room. Let's make a room in the wall. Let us put a bed there, and let it be a table and a chair and a lampstand, so whenever he comes, he can turn in there. Verse 11, and it happened one day. Say one day. It's one day. It was a day just like today. You woke up today. It was just a day like another day. So it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room, and he lay down there. And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, he said,
is awesome, this place she set up for us. This is great. I love coming here, and I love staying here. I mean, I feel so blessed in this place. The food's good. The bed's good. The sheets are good. The pillows are awesome. The chair's great. This is awesome, the way that she has made us comfortable. And so I just added a bit more to it there. But said, call this woman. Said, go call this woman. And when he called her, listen, I love this little phrase. She stood there before them. And another passage says she was standing there in the door. And I love the way it says that, because it's like, hello, what is it you'd like? And you just see someone just standing at the door, just looking in. Oh, this is a real person. This is a real someone. This is a real person who wanted more of God. And here it was, come. You know, have an audience now. The man of God just has asked you to come. And she comes, and she stands there. And he said to her, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. I mean, all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? I mean, I got access to the king. I hang out with him. I can influence him. I mean, I hang out with the captain, the commander of the army. If there's anything you need, if you want a guard set up whenever you travel, I mean, I can do stuff for you. I got access to the highest places of government, the highest places of authority, whatever you have need of. I mean, to the highest realms, I can influence those realms to favor you. Whatever you want, I am ready to do. I'm ready to grant you, because you made my comfort. You made a habitation for me. Now, my passion right now is to bless you in some significant way. Are you there? She answered, I dwell among my own people. I mean, I'm a contented woman. I don't have any needs. I'm blessed. I've done all of this because I wanted to serve you. I understood you're a holy man of God, and I just wanted you to be comfortable. Honestly, I'm well taken care of. So he said, well, what then can be done for her? And then she goes off her way in the gaze. I says, you know, the hubby's getting old, and I mean, look around. She's got no kids. Don't in this culture to not have kids, that's not good. I mean, that's considered a curse. I mean, even in the Word of God, it says if you're barren and you have no children, there's something wrong with you. So Jesus said, look, she got no kids. I reckon she'd like to have a child. I mean, her husband's old, so she needs a breakthrough there for sure. So, amen. Let the redeemed Lord say so. So he said, well, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. What an amazing thing to stand in the doorway before a wonderful God. To stand and have access to the presence of the King of the Glory, who with one word can speak, let there be. There is nothing too hard for him right now. There is nothing that he would withhold from you right now. You right now are standing in the doorway of the King of Glory, and he says, what can I do for you? Wow. Gehazi answered and then said, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Wow. I didn't ask for nothing. I especially didn't ask for a son. This time next year? And she said, no, my Lord. Wow. What a crazy response to a blessing from the Lord. And she said, no, my Lord. Have you stood in the doorway to the presence of God, to access to every wonderful, privileged thing? And have you been standing in the doorway and heard him condescend to you in a beautiful way and say, I am ready, no matter what the height, no matter what length, I am ready to bless you? And have you said no? Have you been saying no to the blessing of the Lord? Have you been standing in the doorway of your breakthrough? And have you been the one saying no, Lord? Said, no, Lord. But listen, she said, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Why? I've made friends with this disappointment. I've reconciled it already in my heart. I used to hope for this. It used to consume me. I used to feel the looks of people when they saw, you know, nice home and she's got some stuff, but no children. I have felt their eyeballs. I have felt that. And I finally got over that. I finally reconciled that this is it. And now don't do this to me. Literally in the NLT, it says, don't
Let me get my hopes up. Don't do this to me. Don't get my hopes up. But the woman conceived and bore a son, and when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her, there was a child. There's an appointed time for you. And I tell you, it's due season right now. There's an appointed time right now. Did you know that you can affect the timetable of God? I mean, there was a woman and her child was demon-possessed and she was a Gentile woman. And it was time Jesus was there to minister. I'm here to minister to the Jews. I mean, it's not yet. It's not your dispensation yet. It's too early. I mean, you have to wait for your blessing. And she said, even the dogs get crumbs. And he said, that is so awesome. And he pushed through the timetable of God. And she got a breakthrough because she said, now is my time. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't wait. She said, I can't take it anymore. She said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, now is my moment. There's so many places in the Word of God where people said, I am getting my breakthrough today. Today is the day of salvation. But I mean, you can tell that deep down, wow, this has been a painful thing. Don't bring it up again. And I know an awful lot of people who've got painful things that you've pushed down. You got hopes and dreams and disappointments. And even now you're looking at me going, I don't even want to do this again. You do this every once in a while. You poke at that thing. And you get me hoping again, and I've been disappointed again, and I'm just shutting down right now. I'm going to file my nails. I'm going to think about something else. I'm going to check out for a bit right now because I'm okay with where I am. I don't mind where I am anymore. I've made friends with the level of where I'm at. Don't stir me up again. Well, I want you to get stirred up again. It's so necessary because he won't fail you. He won't fail you. Even if you think he failed you, trust me, he won't fail you. He's going to turn all that around for his glory. So the woman conceived and bore a son at the appointed time which Elisha had told her. Now I got a few notes here, so I'm not really following notes, so it might be hard for you, George, but give me another slide there. Okay, Hebrews, good, thank you. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Like one translation says, must first believe that he is. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is what? First of all, that he is. But what is he? He is. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So first of all, believe that he is. And second of all, believe this. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So first, believe he is. But that's not enough. And believe he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So here's a woman who sought out the presence of God. She made room for the presence of God. And then, ba-boom. He's a rewarder. He cannot help himself. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. So here it is. Bang. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now look at verse 18. I want you to look at this because I want you to get into it. Don't read the Bible like it's just letters on a page. It's spirit and it's life. Get into the book. And it says, and the child, and I put in brackets, the promise grew. The promise grew. You've been in a season where the promise grew. You saw it gaining traction. And there's a season where I've got the breakthrough. I've got the promise. This is so awesome. And it says, and the child grew. And then we got that phrase again. And now it happened one day. It was just one day. It was a day. Could have been like today. But it says, now it happened one day that he went to his father. He went to the reapers. Now you've got to see a woman who didn't have a child, whose husband is on in years. She may be on in years, but she's got this child, and it's the joy of her life. It's the realization of an unfulfilled promise. It's the breaking off of barrenness. It's experiencing fruitfulness. It's the promise. It's the joy of my life. And this child, we wake up, and they've gone out to harvest, and my husband is leading a team of people, and it's harvest time. It's a time of joy. It's a time of work, but it's a time of realization. What a wonderful season in our lives. Everything we've been working for is coming into manifestation. My child's around my feet, and then the little child says, Mommy, I'm going to go to Daddy. I want to go see Daddy. I want to go to the fields and see Daddy. And she said, go along then. Go see Daddy. And he runs and he leaves the back door of the kitchen and he begins to run to the field. And you can see he begins to disappear through the edges of the wheat and it's bending and it's heavy with the fruit of the harvest. And his head disappears and you can just see this blonde head bouncing as it goes through the field, and you can hear him crying out, Daddy, Daddy. And she turns back into the kitchen and says, wasn't that awesome? Look at that beautiful child. And you know what? It was just another day. Just another day. And this child running out to embrace her daddy. And when he got out to the field, he's there and he's with the workers. And then suddenly he says, and his father said to his father, my head hurts. My head, Daddy, my head. Yeah, it was just another day. Like the day before. Like the day before that. Yet today he went out to see Daddy and said, Daddy, my head hurts. My head hurts. And Daddy, busy with the harvest, says, look, you know, Ralph. I don't know if it was Ralph, but Ralph's a good name. Come on, pick up the boy. Take him back to his mom. He's in some pain there. He should be with his mom. Maybe she can help him. So, and his father sent him back, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, this was, I just saw him running out. He was full of life. He was bouncing through the harvest. And I saw his little blonde head. And he was full of purpose when he woke up this morning. I mean, there was my little desire, the delight of my life. And he ran full of life into the harvest. And here he's coming back to me. And he's in pain. He says, hey, your husband said to bring him back. He's not good. And you better care for him. So it says that she took him and he sat on her knees until noon. And then he died. It was just another day. It began good. And then all hell broke loose. This was a promise. This was an unfulfilled desire. This was a dream that I had, that I was afraid to even hope for again. And not somewhere, but in my own hands, in my own arms. I lost my child. I had a sister-in-law who had that happen. My six-year-old niece, Erica, died in her arms. Stricken with leukemia. And to see that kind of pain and that kind of hurt in something that so delighted you, felt like it got torn from you, and you were helpless to do anything about it. Wow, so turn to your neighbor and say, this is good. A day of joy, a day of harvest, a day of fulfillment, a day of busyness, a day of sun. Some theologians say maybe it was sunstroke. Well, it was pretty early. It was in the morning, got taken back to mom. It must have been a pretty hot day. Maybe it was sunstroke. I don't know what it was. I have no idea what the illness was. All I know was is that little child walked out the door running and healthy and came back dead. There's a lot of you who've had very real stuff like that happen. Very real. There's a lot of you who've started, and it was just a day like any other day. And I had a co-worker once showed up in my office at, 7 o'clock one night. I'm preparing for an appointment and walked in, sat at my desk, and just looked at me and said, I just went home for dinner. And I went, yeah, good, good. And my wife told me to pack up and leave. It was just another day. Started out good. We'd had lunch together. Everything seemed fine. Just another day. Just another day. I went to work today, and they're closing down the business, and I've lost my job. Just another day. Just another day, and I got a phone call. I had another fellow I worked with, and he tracked me down and phoned me from client to client. It was just another day, but he called me and said my son was at a golf tournament. It was a stag party for him, and he was in the back of a pickup truck, and the pickup truck took off fast. He fell out the back, and the car behind ran him over. It was just another day. It was a day that started well, and now my son is in the hospital, and they don't think he'll make it. Can you pray? So many dreams, so many things, but there's things for you that it was just a day. But that day, instead of taking it to the presence of God, it was a day that is fixed as a massive turning point in my life where my hope was shot and gone.
Time to believe again. It's time to dream again. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, it's all good. Come on, it's all good. All good. So there the promise died in her arms. I mean, she couldn't do anything but hold the promise, love the promise. I mean, she wasn't unfaithful. She wasn't hadn't done anything wrong. There wasn't, we can't study her life. Well, you know why that happened, eh? You know, it's like the people came, why was this one blind? Why was he born blind? Was it his sin, his parents' sin? I mean, who screwed up to cause this problem? It wasn't anybody's problem. It was just another day, but it was a day filled with tragedy. So we can push it down and go on quietly. We can become bitter and say, I believe God and he wasn't there. There's a lot of Christians who just push it down and just live quietly the rest of their life. Keep on doing the motions with church, but don't expect much and think the next great event in my life is Jesus coming. Get me out of this mess. I was out with Carly and Johnny looking for cars yesterday, and the last guy we were done with, and we wanted to get the figure down to where we wanted, and he kept telling me he couldn't do it, but the more we pushed, the lower he got. It was funny how he couldn't do it, but he kept on getting closer. And he's still about $10 away from what we want to do. And I said, we're going to have to leave. He's looking at me, what? I said, we're going to go. And I really believe you're going to get a call from Honda, and they're going to say that they want to sell these cars, and they're going to take another $2,000 or $3,000 off. I believe that, so I'm going to go and pray. He said, oh, you're going to go and pray? I got some Hindu customers or things like that. Maybe they could give you a God to pray to. And I went, oh, no, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor, and I already know God. I'm hooked up. And so we're going to go get her done. You know, right after I said, they said, where are you a preacher at? I said, I'm a preacher down at Impact Church. Impact Church, wow. What kind of church is that? I said, kind of Pentecostal plus. You know, he turned to us and said, you know what? I was a Bible teacher in a Pentecostal church, a church he named here in this town for years and years and years. And you could tell, you could kind of look at him and see that something happened. There was some kind of unresolved issue, some kind of unresolved offense. Something happened, but he was bittered and he was soured. And he looked kind of amused by, whoa, you guys are going to go pray. I go, we're going to pray. And I believe we're going to get a breakthrough. And he's going to more than meet our price. I believe those kind of things. The way we do business around here. You know why? Because I got the big fella saying, well, you want me to talk to a king? You want me to talk to a captain? Do you want me to talk to a salesman? Do you want me to talk to the head of Honda? Yes, please. Because if you seek the Lord, you procure favor. We can't do that, Price. I know you can. You just need a little creative financing. It's funny, every time you push the button, it goes, ooh, it's getting closer all the time. Hallelujah, keep pushing. But it was sad to see that here's somebody who was on a track serving the purposes of God, and something happened. Something died in his experience that he chose to pack it up. We've got people here in this house that have had significant attacks in their life, significant ways that the enemy has stolen from them and has taken precious, dear things from their lives. And I see them champion on, and I see them go on in power and in strength, and I see them say, there's better days, there's purpose today, there's something for me to do right now. That is not a fixed point in my life that nothing shall get better from there, but I believe that God is for me, and we shall see better as we move ahead. Powerful people in this house. Powerful. So, verse 21. So what do you do? What do you do? I mean, that's the end of the story for most people. I dreamed, I tried, fell apart, I'm done. I tithed for 3 months, and my finances didn't change. I'm finished. Never doing that again, my God. There's a lot of people who've tried, believed, carried a dream, nurtured something that they believed for a little while, didn't see what they'd hoped to see. In fact, maybe even experienced unprecedented tragedy in the middle of a place of faith and belief. And that's it. And I'll tell you, for most people, story ends right there. For the salesman I met yesterday, it ended right there. A purpose of God, a destiny, a dream is dead in that guy that I hope we get an opportunity to breathe on and see it restored. And she went up there. Here's what she did. She went up. Hello. I just had
the most precious gift God ever gave me die in my hands. What am I going to do? And she went up. And she went up. And she went up. And she went up into the place of habitation. She went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God and she shut the door and she went out. She took him to the place of habitation. She took him to the place of promise. A couple verses for you right here. You ready? Psalm chapter 27, 5. It says, "For in the time of trouble, I shall quit. In the time of trouble, I am done. In the time of trouble, I'm going to get bitter and never believe again. In the time of trouble, I'm going to grumble. I'm going to complain. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the time of trouble, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me and he shall set me high upon a rock." Another one. Here it is. Psalm 37, 39, "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." If you're in the time of trouble, if you're in just one day, if you're in that place where tragedy has invaded your life, go up to the place of rest. Go up to the God of your salvation. Go up. Put it on the place of rest. Put it in the place of confident trust. I know I'm shouting. You know what? God will break through for you right there. Verse 22. "Then she called to her husband and she said," I can't believe it. "And she called to her husband and she said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. That I may run to the man of God and come back. And her husband said, it's not Sunday. There's no services today. It's not even one of this. We're not even having a convention or special meetings. I mean, Jeremy Nelson's not in town. There's no special services going on. What do you got to run to the man of God for? I love it. It says, then he said, what's going on? He said, why are you going to him today? It's not the new moon. It's not the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. It is well. What do you say in the place of tragedy? You take your tragedy, the habitation, you take it to the dwelling place of God. You shut the door on the thing. And then you go on hot pursuit for the miracle. And when somebody gets in your way or anybody else, you know what? I'm not going to weigh you down with my issues. I am going full on forward to the glory of God. And hello, anybody says, what are you doing that for? What's going on? Why are you in such a hot pursuit? What are you doing? Another minute. It's not Sabbath. It's not this. It is well. It is well. You know that word, it is well, is the word shalom. It's the word shalom. Actually, if you, I don't know if I put it in there or not. There it is right there. Wherefore wilt thou not go? Why are you going to him today? That's the authorized version. And if you got the authorized, the King James version, you'll see sometimes words are in italics. The words in italics are put in there just to help you understand it a little bit better. But the words in italics aren't there. All she said was, when he said, what are you doing now? What do you need a guy for? You need a donkey? You're going where? To Mount Carmel to see the man of God? It's not Sabbath. It's not a feast day. What are you doing? Shalom. Anything else? Shalom. I mean, emotionally, her whole life is screaming, I just lost the desire of my heart. But right now, I've put him in the presence of God, and everybody else, all they need to hear is shalom. What does that mean? Peace, completeness, soundness, safety, health, and prosperity. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is God, my God of covenant peace. And no matter what I see, I don't move by sight. I move by faith. This was a dream that he said was mine. He gave it to me. It's his word. Therefore, if it is dead, shalom. Caleb got it. Praise Jesus. Shalom. 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 Saddled the donkey and said to her servant, verse 24, drive and go forward. Do not slacken your pace. Don't even look back unless I'm screaming at you, but let's go as fast as we can. Drive these suckers. Let's go. 20-mile journey to Mount Carmel. A 20-mile journey to the place where fire gets called down. A 20-mile journey to the place where things that contend with the glory of God in your life get burnt and melted and destroyed. I'm going to Mount Carmel. I'm getting a miracle. I'm going to the man of God. I'm going to the presence of God. I am going to get a breakthrough because he promised me blessing. Settle down. I mean, I know you're excited, my God. But easy, the studio audience is a little restless today. Shalom. Turn to your neighbor and say, shalom. Let's go on. End of verse 25. So it was that the man of God saw her afar off, and he said to Gehazi, look, it's a Shunammite woman. I love that. Now, where did he see her? afar off. What does that mean? He had incredible sight. No, what that means is he regularly saw her coming to the presence of God. That he literally recognized how she came. There was a gate. Remember Jehu? They said, oh, there's a chariot coming. Oof, looks like Jehu. Because he was crazy. Like my son, when we used to have our truck with the big headers and mufflers on it, boom, boom, you go, you could hear like for 3 miles, Dylan's coming. Boom, boom, over. I knew he was home before he knew he was home. You know, she had a way that she came into the presence of God that was recognizable and discernible. You know, look, it's the Shunammite. And you know what? When I come into the presence of God, he's like, look, that's Carl. Look at him coming like that. It's awesome. I love the way he comes to the presence of the Lord. It shall be well. It shall be well. So he sees her afar off, and she's coming hard. And I got to move on because time is going. Look, the Shunammite woman, please run down and meet her and say, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? He went down, he said, shalom. Shalom your husband, shalom your child. And she just turned around and said, shalom. And she just kept on going. Shh, you know, I'm not stopping for this dude. She kept on going all the way. Verse 27, now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came by to say, get out, what are you doing? Get out of the way, stop that. You know, somebody, even a well-meaning believer, might even be somebody in the church, right? When you're going hard to believe again and see the restoration of your dreams and purposes, they'll be coming along and go, don't do that again. You don't try and get God to do stuff for you. Oh, don't do that again. I mean, get away. And they'll try to hinder you from going after God. Don't be so zealous. Settle down. Where'd that get you before? You got all worn out. And I mean, my goodness, just tired. I mean, man, here it is. We're going after God. Gehazi, get out of the way. Say it with me. Gehazi, get out of the way. Awesome stuff right there. All right, so she comes and she jumps right in there. Smith Wigglesworth, he said this, if the enemy can move you from the place of faith, he can get you outside of the will of God for your life. Now he said, somebody tries to push you away from being zealous and passionate after God, say, get out of the way. The end of verse 27. But the man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me, and he has not told me. Verse 28. So she said, did I ask you for a son, Lord? Did I not say, don't deceive me? Did I not say, don't get me hoping again? Did I not say, you know, I'd made friends with my circumstances, but you put this on me. Therefore, you, pal, are going to deal with this. Oh, don't talk to God like that. No, you know what? Sometimes you got to make a bold approach. And you got to realize that your breakthrough means you've got to break through. Means, you know what, sometimes you got to come full on bold. Don't let anybody get in your way. Everybody else, shalom. But when you get in the presence of God, let it all hang out. Well, I don't want to offend you, God, but you've promised me stuff and it hasn't come through. Really? What things would that be? He can handle it. You know what, he doesn't mind because he says, put me in remembrance of my promises. And it's not because he's forgetful, but there's a key to your breakthrough right there. And he wants you to break through. And also, you know what? There's a very real enemy that is trying to rob, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And there's times that you got to contend for the promise of God in your life. Oh, if he wants to do it, why can't he just do it? Run boldly into the throne room of God and say, hello, big fella, you said it. Let's get her done right now. And then he says, look, let's send Gehazi back. He'll go real fast, and we'll get him back there, see what we can do. I mean, Romans chapter 4, verse 16, 17, Abraham is the father of all who believe. Why this happened? Why was he called father of all who believe? Because Abraham believed that God is the one who brings back from the dead. He makes life come to that. He creates things out of nothing. That's faith. It says 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Quit living in the sight realm. I love the Amplified. It says, for we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by the conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. We trust and have holy fervor. Thus, we walk not by sight or by appearance. Verse 31. Now Gehazi went on ahead, and he laid the staff on his face, and there was neither a voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him, and he told him, he said, yeah, he's still dead. A lot of people, you know, they try the substitute. They try the man of God. They try the guy who waves the stick and does a few things, and that didn't work. You got to go to God. Don't be taking any substitutes. Gehazi, anybody who knew Gehazi knew that he wasn't quite the right character for the job.
So some people stop there, though. They try that. I tried the meeting. I went to the big service. I went to the healing thing. I did that, but nothing. And so they make friends with us. Some people stop there. Verse 32. So when Elijah came into the house, I love this, though, because she said, I'm not going to let you go. I mean, verse 30, she said, I'm not going to let you go. And the NLT says, I'm not going to let you go unless you go with me to my house. So Elijah returned with her. Verse 32, when Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead in his bed. And he went, therefore, he shut the door behind the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. And he went, and he lay on the child mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, and he stretched himself over that child, and his flesh became warm. I'm going to preach on that next week. The Lord's just really poured something in my heart about how all that works. But he returned, and he walked back and forth in the house, and again, he went and he stretched himself out on him, and then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi, and he said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and she came in to him, and he said, pick up your son. But first of all, she fell at his feet, and she bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son, and she went out. God will honor his commitments to you. He will not fail you. The restoration will be more glorious than even the first promise. And if you contend for it, contend for it, because there is purpose in it. Now, I think I got another verse up here. I'm going to wrap up in a couple seconds. So 2 Kings chapter 9, 3 and 4. Now, this is in traditional rabbinical teaching, their historical books. People believe that this boy, this Shunammite child, he was the one who is used right here, where Elisha said to him, say to him, this is what the Lord says, I anoint you to be king over Israel, then open the door and run for your life. So the young prophet did as he was told, and he went to Ramoth Gilead. Now he was the one who was going to be used by God to go prophesy and anoint Jehu to be the one who would destroy the family of Ahab and rid the place of Jezebel. So this was a child with incredible purpose in his life. This was a child that was destined for greatness with God. This was a child that God had incredible uses for, but the enemy tried to take him out. God's got an incredible purpose for you. He's got an incredible purpose for me. He's got an incredible purpose for this house. And there are things that God wants to do that the enemy's tried to take you out, tried to take me out, tried to rob us of our dreams, tried to never get us hope again, tried to don't think again, don't dream again, don't think about what those crazy prophets said. Just be content with where it's going. It's all good. It's all nice. Don't believe for the nations. Don't believe for global glory. Time to believe again. It's a season of fulfillment. It's a season of restoration and recovery. And see, this child was destined for greatness, and so are you. But there's things attacking your life right now that you don't need to make friends with. There's things that have come against you right now that are right from the pit of hell. And if you seek the Lord right now, if you seek him, you have influence. The Lord is ready to move on your behalf. When? Right now. Today is my day. Just a real quick little recap. You ready? Here it is right here. Fulfilling God's purpose. That's what this was. It was purpose. There's purpose attached to this. This wasn't just some cute little blessing for my life. There was divine, eternal, powerful purpose in this child. How do you fulfill this purpose? You had a visitation. You pursued a habitation. You received the blessing. You experienced tragedy. You exercised boldness. You realized restoration. And you and the whole time were partnering with the divine, eternal purpose of God. So much more involved. You quitting right now, are you backing up, are you compromising your passion of what you believe God poured into your heart? You settling for something less is not the purpose of God for you. It's time.